We are going to start this podcast off with some information regarding the incident, the bombing, not bombing, excuse me, the blast in Lebanon. So there's an organization we're going to plug right now. It is Islamic Relief and Lebanon, irusa.org/Middle East/Lebanon. Islamic Relief has been working in Lebanon since 2006, supporting refugees and others living in poverty with livelihoods. Islamic Relief has started its response. We are looking to provide drinking water, food for people who have lost their homes. In a few days, we will also start helping to clear the streets of all the debris caused by the blast, providing people currently out of work with cash to help out. So if you feel the need to donate to an organization, this is one that I completely trust. Thanks to Sumaya from a friend of mine who is in touch with this organization. So thank you so much. IRUSA.org. Please donate to help all the people in Lebanon right now, because what happened is absolutely insane. And it's just, you know, it's just really no words for it whatsoever. We also have another organization to plug. It's called Save Our Stages, #SaveOurStages. The mission of National Independent Venue Association is to preserve and nurture the ecosystem of independent live music venues and promoters throughout the United States. There is an act being passed through Congress that you can contact your congressman about. And you can also head to SaveOurStages.com and type in your name, address, and it will automatically prompt you to a prompt that will mail to your congressman or to congressmen all over the U.S. to help save our stages. So just imagine your favorite venue being closed down. For me, it's the 930 Club. And that hits home. I was just telling Catherine off mic that if the 930 Club closes, I think the world's finally ending. Right?
Yeah. I mean,
I think it's over.
The day that happens.
No more live music. No more memories at the shows. Like last time me and Catherine saw a show, we were both pretty buzzed, and it was fun. Like a few beers. We met the band. We met the band. It was buzz. It was fun. We saw, you know, a weird punk band.
Jason got some autographs. He was really excited.
I got some autographs. I was crying in the car. Were we eating food after the show?
Yeah, we went and got... We got like pizza or something. I remember some dude throw up behind a trash can.
Yes, it was real so cute. Yeah. I forgot what the burger place is called, but it's closed now. It's gone.
Right, burgers.
It's closed now. And so I got a burger, you got fries, and we just see this dude projectile vomit into a garbage can. Mind you, it's not even midnight, and this dude is just gone. So fun stuff. SaveOurStages.com. Let's save our stages. And let's talk about some little news around our 2000s times. So every episode for the past few weeks, we've always had to talk about the Chicks, formerly known as the Dixie Chicks. And they have put out their new album finally, and it's actually pretty good.
I have listened to it six times in the last 2 days.
Dude, March, that shit is fire.
Yeah.
That's the content I want. That's the music I need. When I heard it, I was just like, this is... Mm-hmm. That song. Mm-hmm. This is the fucking song.
I'm there at work just like singing Gaslighter under my breath all day.
It's such a bomb. It's such a bomb. Banger. Such it a is. Banger opener. Such a good. They have not lost their touch. If anything, I think this is the best they've sounded in forever.
They sound so amazing. Good. And like it hits, and they have like bops, and they have like, oh, that's beautiful.
Yeah, it's
like,
beautiful music.
They hit every.
They know.
There.
They know. I think it's the perfect time for them to have returned. So it's pretty bomb. Smash Mouth, our boys. At some point, we'll have them on the show. Our boys, Smash Mouth.
Do we still want to have them on the show after this?
Dude, let's fucking have them on the show. So these fucking guys in South Dakota, you can party, basically. You can party. They're holding a biker rally in South Dakota currently, which is popping off. I saw a video when I was at work. It is crazy packed. Like, it's just... like, nothing's happening. No masks. Nothing, guys. And so we know who's dying within the next few weeks. Am I right, guys? And so Smash Mouth and
like
Buck Cherry.
Rally, you know what I mean?
Right. Know what I mean? And so Smash Mouth and Buck Cherry are having a maskless show in South Dakota. So if you want to get lit this month, this summer.
Lit, you want to get Rona?
If you want to get lit, if you want to get lit and ventilated, go check out Smash Mouth in South Dakota. It's going to be the bomb. Try singing All Star from your deathbed. Try it. Just like some, just coughing your fucking lungs out. What the fuck, man? Catherine, we have not recorded in a long time.
We haven't. It's been a while.
It's been a while by Stained. It's been a while. So, yeah, it's, I don't know. It's been a while. What have you been up to, Catherine?
I've been working.
You've been working? You know what I've been up to?
What have you been up to?
I've been talking about the 2000s.
Never stops. It's all he talks about.
Never
it's
stops, it's man.
It's honestly exhausting being Jason's
it
friend.
It never stops.
He just wants to talk about 2000s content.
Is it exhausting? We don't talk every day, you shithead.
I was making a joke, Jason.
I'm offended.
It's called hyperbole.
Hyperbole?
Hyperbole? Oh, man. That's it.
So, today, it's been hard to segue out of such serious topics. And leading into Smash Mouth. And now leading into Grey's Anatomy. So recently, during this long break where we haven't been recording, my fiance discovered Grey's Anatomy. And I was like, oh shit, it's finally happening. And she's like, I'm just going to watch this show. And she gets into it.
That's how I start watching. I'm like, I'm just going to watch some Grey's Anatomy. You know, why not?
Mind you. It has been a week since she started. Mm-hmm. And we are at season 7.
Jesus.
We are at season 7. I'm not shitting you. This woman watches. If you could pay her to watch TV and movies. By the way, Catherine, after this show, I'm going to tell you about a movie we saw last night, and I promise you're going to fucking love it.
Have you seen Knock Knock?
What?
Have you seen Knock Knock with Keanu Reeves?
Oh my God. I know what you're talking about. We'll talk about it after. I know exactly what you're talking about. Oh no. I've seen the scene. I've seen
watch
the
whole movie. It's worth it.
Oh my God, no. Oh my God. Oh man. So basically, season 7, Keanu Reeves. Season 7, Keanu Reeves. Season 7, Grey's Anatomy, which Keanu Reeves should be in, should be a guest star.
Oh my God, it's what
How
we
he
deserve.
Hasn't been is just like mind-boggling. So Grey's Anatomy, season 7. By the time this episode comes out, we're on season 10. Straight up. I'm not even fucking joking. We're so deep into this. Mind you, this show is still going on. And my friend told me she's seen all of it. She was just like, oh, next season they're talking about Rona. And I was just like, from Zoom? No one's filming. No one's filming right now. I can't wait for next season for it to all be Zoom calls. Just Ellen Pompeo in a Zoom meeting and it just cuts off midway. It just starts to be jacked up. Like, that. You never hear words. So we were initially going to talk about Jennifer Lopez this week. Mm-hmm. But Grey's Anatomy seemed a little more important.
Yeah, yes.
It just seemed
it's very important.
Too topical, and I was just like, we need to talk about how messy this fucking show is. And I mean PG, primetime ABC messy, not HBO messy. Mm-hmm. This is as softcore as it can possibly be, and I don't know. Like, I think even Jehovah's Witnesses are allowed to watch this shit. It's just like, I have no words for this show sometimes, and yet we love garbage. You guys have listened to us long enough, we love garbage.
I'm not as far as your fiance. However, I have watched, like, I'm almost done with the first two seasons.
Yeah.
And I had a great time.
It's interesting, man. Here's the thing about this show. So to me, the greatest hospital show I've ever seen is still House. That's still like the number one show, I've ever seen. I also told her to watch Scrubs. I was good. Like, House and Scrubs are like the greatest hospital shows ever. And she was like, well, is Scrubs over? I'm like, yeah, well, I guess it's not as good as Grey's. I'm like, it doesn't mean anything. What?
It's true. You know, NCIS is still going. Peak television.
NCIS is still going. You know why? Because doctor's offices are just playing them on a repeat. They have them on loop. Like Criminal Minds is still going, right? It just shows that go by the minimum. They don't need a lot of money to keep going.
They finally stopped Supernatural.
Oh my dude, thank I'm telling God. You, man. We can't, honestly, guys, we can't, we will not do an episode on Supernatural. It is too dense. It is so yeah, it's too much. I've never seen an episode of the show because I thought Smallville was way better and I stopped watching.
Oh, Supernatural I've done the first 10 seasons.
Supernatural came on at 8 or 9 o'clock and I wouldn't make it till then. I would watch Smallville. Smallville always came right before Supernatural and I would just watch it before that. I'm like, I'm not watching this shit. So Grey's Anatomy, guys.
Okay, but the first three seasons of Supernatural are so good. I'm just saying that. First three seasons. After that, screw it. But the first three seasons, solid.
I don't know, man. I don't know. Grey's Anatomy, guys. Let's talk about... I'm going to speak in generalities. I'm way far ahead than Catherine, so I'm going to speak as vague as possible. What I will say is that this hospital in this world should be shut down.
Oh, absolutely.
This hospital is garbage. This hospital, I would not trust anyone's life. I'm more flabbergasted about how much of a personal connection these doctors, quote-unquote, interns, they are interns in this show currently. Mm-hmm. They get so emotionally attached to a lot of their patients. And I'm wondering if doctors and nurses and interns are like that. Because I want to gander no.
I found a TikTok where a nurse just reads aloud a bunch of nursing memes and like medical memes. And based off of all of those memes, I'm going to go with no. If anything, they usually tend to have an aversion to patients.
Yeah. But like people are like loving their patients. I get it. Great. That's your ideal doctor, nurse that you become BFFs for however long you're in that hospital bed. But I was just like, you're learning. They are merely bodies for your education to learn from and to help and save. And then they're out of there. What they don't factor in is the hospital costs it takes to be in that baller hospital to stay, be fixed. And it's just like, you know, they all swear, stare at Patrick Dempsey or like Ellen Pompeo or Sandra Oh, and are just like, thank you for saving my life. And then they give him the bill and it's like 20 grand. Mm-hmm. It's just like Sandra Oh did nothing for you. She gave you a new heart, but now you're in debt.
See, one of my favorite scenes, I think, is when they did the open heart surgery. The interns did the open heart surgery yes. in an elevator.
Dude.
Right? Tell me they wouldn't get the fuck sued out of that. Like, they get so sued.
Oh, my God. They would be sued. They're just like, you know what? Let's do it in the elevator. You saved his life, but how many codes did you, like, do? I don't know if this is season 2. It's not a big thing. But basically, someone drops an organ on the floor, and then Dr. Baldwin looks at Ellen Pompeo or someone that drops it. I forget who drops it. Looks at her and goes, 5-second rule. And then they just disinfect it and put it back into the body. I was screaming. I was so pissed. I was just like, fuck you. This Grey's Anatomy post season 2 should just be about how they are dealing with their careers after losing all their jobs and licenses.
Yeah, where's the... I need, like, the added level of drama of them actually getting sued for, like, malpractice? That's what it's called?
Malpractice? Just bad shit. Just stupid shit. Mm-hmm. It's just people with in control... It's just adults with with teenage-level raging hormones that just have never had sex before and were just like, guys, this is a perfect opportune to go into the janitor's, into the restroom, like the actual restroom where people go to like chill out after a stressful day of saving lives, helping people, and going to chill out. And he's like, you know what? This is the fuck room, you know? And everybody knows when you go in there, you're not going to take a nap.
Yep.
You're going to take a nap into someone's vagina or to a... Or in someone's dick. And it's just like, that's what people fuck. And it's gross. It's gross. It's a hospital. It's fucking gross.
Very it doesn't unsanitary. Matter.
Someone's going to tell, I had sex in the hospital. That's cool for you. That's fucking gross. Okay? It's
I
a
like
hospital.
The part where they got an STD. Where they got an STD.
My favorite though. Fucking thing ever. He gave him chlamydia. Good.
And good. It was like, all came from like it. Two other people. So like there was an actual spread of chlamydia. I love it.
It's the best shit.
The most accurate part of that whole show.
Yeah. STDs are real, guys. Be safe. And it was because of that chick, that other doctor. Was she a nurse? That other doctor, like, they just weren't safe. And Alex was just like, he's always a douchebag. You always need a douchebag character. Always need a douchebag character. He's just that asshole. It was just like sleeping with everybody. And she's like, you gave me chlamydia. And it's just this whole thing. This whole thing. It was just like, all of you deserve it, to be honest. Like, this is not a good hospital. You know, it's not a good hospital at all. And then it's just, I don't know. What do we think about the chemistry of, God, I Patrick Dempsey, I forget his character's name at the time, McDreamy, that even my fiance has fallen in love with. I'm like, he's okay.
Yeah, he's not.
You know what makes him great looking is his hair. Because there's a bit in later on seasons, his hair kind of changes a bit. He's not as good looking.
Yeah, in my opinion, his hair is like 80% of his attractiveness. So
is 80%. Like, if you shave, if Patrick Dempsey goes bald, who is he? He's just a low brand John Travolta. If he's bald, he's just low brand. I fucking said it. Quote me. That's what he is. You know, the only real hot person that comes on this show is Jesse Williams, but that's later on. You know who Jesse Williams is, right?
No, I remember.
If I show you a picture of him, you'll definitely know.
Probably. Who he is. But I love Sandra Oh.
Sandra Oh, man.
Like, if she's in it, I'll watch it.
I'll watch.
If I'm being honest. And like,
I've got to watch Killing Eve.
She's definitely Killing Eve is so good.
I got to watch. So that's what good. I've been told. I gotta watch it. But Sandra Oh is actually like a shining star in this fucking show. And the lady who plays Dr. Baldwin, she's great.
Mm-hmm.
She's really great. And I think that's it.
Yeah.
There's only two good people in this fucking
Most
show.
Most of the main characters are like, what?
Uninteresting. Yeah. Katherine Heigl, uninteresting. She's so boring and blah. Nobody loves her. And all she wants is love. And it's just like, ugh. Boring, okay? Like, nobody cares about you. You're sleeping with anyone you can. Anyone who looks at you is just like, you know what? I think I'm falling in love with him. No, he's blind, okay? He's just looking in your general vicinity. That's it. God damn it, man. You know what's worse? It's like, Katherine Heigl is actually pretty good in this show.
Yeah.
She's actually pretty good. She's a good actress. She's so much baggage. So much drama. Trust me, we're going to get into the drama.
Oh, boy.
Because as messy as the show is on TV, on Netflix, it's messy behind the scenes. And that's where the real gold is behind the show. It's not the plot lines. It's nothing career defining. It's nothing wild. It is just fun actor drama. And I fucking love it.
Here's a fun fact.
After Patrick left the show, him and Ellen Pompeo have not talked. They have not talked.
Wow.
Nothing. Damn. Real bonding right there.
Mm-hmm.
Real bonding. You guys have shared the screen. You're just like, you know what? I don't fucking care. Let's start with some early drama. Going to go in chronicle order, thanks to U.S. Magazine, U.S. Weekly, for helping me out with that because I was a little lazy this week. I have been working all week, so I come home late, okay?
Keep making late. Excuses, Jason.
Shut up.
When did playing the victim work out for anyone?
I'm trying to think. I know it's worked. So, Isaiah Washington. I forget his character's name. Literally the only black surgeon. Literally. Aside from Bailey. Whatever. Isaiah Washington. Reports surfaced in October 2006. How old were you in 2006?
I'm trying to do math. Hang on. I was 10.
10. Okay. Yeah, you were 10. Report surfaced October 2006 that there was some drama on set between Washington and Patrick Dempsey. While Katherine Heigl downplayed the incident on The Ellen DeGeneres Show. Ellen.
Oh, Ellen.
Oh, Ellen.
The lesbian that all the lesbians hate.
Dude, the alpha lesbian?
But lesbians hate her, though.
Nobody likes her, man.
Never live long enough to see yourself become the villain.
Become the villain. Yeah. She became the villain.
Like, I appreciate the things she's done for the gay community, but... not anymore.
She hates people, man. She hates people. Like,
well, that's like the Ellen's Game of Games, or whatever it's called.
Dude, oh my god.
She's just like, that's her reparations.
Torturing the shit out of people. Mm-hmm. So, Katherine Heigl downplayed the incident on Ellen, referring it to as a little burst of testosterone in the room. No, there's no such thing as a little burst of testosterone. No. It's just two guys who do not fucking get along that are chatting it out, overbroing, you know. I just invented that term.
Overbroing or overbrowing. Chatting it out or both.
I think overbrowing, chatting, I think is already a verb. But overbrowing, two bro. You can be two bro. I've definitely been two bro.
Yeah, a few times.
You thought of like 20 memories right now. It's just like, yeah, he overbro.
You mean your entire existence?
Yeah, my entire existence.
Like, I was telling you a story earlier, and you're like, dude.
I didn't know what else. Oh my god, yeah, dude. Dude. My vocabulary is quite minimal. It's not the worst thing.
Dude.
It could be worse.
Bet. Bro. That's most of it right there.
It works. It gets the point across. I'm agreeing with you. We're on the same page. Dude. Imagine me as like a psychiatrist.
And like, if it's you like, disagree, you still say dude, but in a different tone.
Dude. <There it is. laughs> So 2007 TR Knight revealed that hearing Washington use the F word during the aforementioned fight he had with Patrick Dempsey gave him the courage to come out as gay. TR Knight is the guy who plays George on the show. He's gay. Mm-hmm. And so there is some mild drama about him coming out, because at the time he wanted to come out, Washington had used the F word, and I think the rumor, this is not quoted, rumor is that Shonda and other producers thought it was bad timing for him to come out and to hold off. And I was just like, when is a good time to come out?
Pride
Thanksgiving, you know.
Over Thanksgiving, you know, dinner.
Don't ask, don't tell. Was she abiding by that? That was still a rule, you know. So months after the scandal, it was announced that Washington would not return for season 4. Spoiler alert. I'm sure you didn't see this coming. And that the actor was mad as hell and not going to take it anymore. A month after he was fired, he opened up about the incident, blaming Patrick Dempsey for being a diva on set. And they had a disagreement. He subsequently used a slur. He was just like, I said, I don't need Ellen. I can act. You know, Washington recalled on Larry King Live in 2007, referring to Pompeo. And that was the moment that sent it into a different zone. Quote, Patrick became unhinged, sprayed spit in my face, you know, just normal, loud spittle in my face. I said several bad words. There's no way you're going to treat me like the B word, the P word, or the F word. I was like, damn, you fucking said all three? Dog. They should have thrown hands. You know, if you're going to use, you know, don't use slurs, just throw fists. Because then we all see it. He did add he's not homophobic in any way, shape, or form. This was also 2007. When this word was quite prevalent in American society still. Because if we go back and watch shows, it was said a lot.
And the R-word.
R-word all the time. Mm-hmm. The Hangover. Bradley Cooper. They're going to remember in a year. In a few months, they're going to be like, Bradley Cooper said the F-word on The Hangover. I'm like, did we not remember? So, a year after Katherine Heigl won an Emmy for her portrayal as Izzy Stevens. Granted, I will say, so what I said was that Katherine Heigl won an Emmy for this fucking show. She won an Emmy. That's Jesus. That's wild. You know.
I mean, I think the show is iconic. It's not good. It's iconic, though.
I want to go back in time, knowing what we know now in the age of television we're in, and going back in time and seeing, excuse me, and seeing what were we nominating back then? Because I think I saw one year during the Golden Globes, it was like the best actor category for like a drama series. And all the nominees were white. Yeah. All the male. Granted, like, they were white. They were good. They were good actors. It was a guy from Dexter, Bill Paxton. I forgot who else. I forgot what shows were going on. But it was, like, all good white actors, you know. But it was just all white actors. And so I'm wondering, was 2008 like this as well? You know, we didn't have the shows back then that we do now. Mm-hmm. And so she won an Emmy for playing Izzy. I will say, solid portrayal, good acting. I don't like the character, but she does it so well. She plays a hateful blonde white woman so well.
It's true.
And I wonder the fuck why. The actress withdrew herself from the following year's race because she felt she didn't deserve the nomination because she felt her storyline... She felt like, quote, I did not feel that I was given the material this season to warrant an Emmy nomination. And in an effort to maintain the integrity of the Academy organization, I withdrew my name from contention. You know what? That's kind of bold. I can kind of respect that. To be like, you know what? I don't feel like I did a good job. Other people deserve this spot.
Yeah.
As problematic as Katherine Heigl is, I can respect that move big time. But later on... She said, in addition, I did not want to potentially take away an opportunity from an actress who was given such materials. Weeks later, Shonda Rhimes claimed during a TV panel that she wrote the back half of season 4 light for Catherine so she could do her movie.
Interesting.
She's like, why wasn't I given a lot of work? Because you were working a lot? The fuck? Like, yo. We're helping you, Katherine Heigl. We're helping you, dog.
What?
Okay. No, nothing. So I'm not going to read this next part because it's a big spoiler, and I don't want to ruin it for you.
Yeah, please don't do that.
Yeah. I'm not going to ruin it for you. So March 2010, less than 2 years after Heigl withdrew herself from the Emmy race, she left Grey's Anatomy. You know, because she's had a massive movie career. She was doing a ton of shit. I'm done. We just finalized our agreement, she told Entertainment Weekly in March 2010. Everyone had been working really hard to find an amicable and gracious way of letting go and moving on. It's sad, but it's what I wanted. The actress also noted to the magazine at the time that she wanted to spend more time with her then 16-month-old daughter, Nale, and not work full-time. I want to stress something really quick to parents and new parents. If your baby is past the 12-month mark, it is 1 year old. It is not 16 months. It's not
for a second. I thought you said 60, not 16, but 60.
60
and
months?
And I'm just like, so five? She's five?
She's five?
Because the thing is, though, people do that, though, right?
People do that. And I've never understood why they're one. They have, once you have that 1 year old birthday, you don't have an 18th month old birthday. You have a 1 year birthday. You don't go 24 months and shit, you know. So she didn't want to work full-time. Fair. You want to be a mom? Totally cool. 2 years later, Shonda Rhimes was the showrunner on Scandal and Private Practice. Threw shade all the way from half court at Heigl 2 years after her departure. On some level, it stung, and on some level, I was not surprised. When people show you who they are, believe them. Pew, pew. Shots fired from 2 years later. You want to know some real fucked up shit?
Let's hear it.
And I think it's fucked up. And I told my fiance this and she was like, what? It's fucked up. So, Patrick Dempsey was paid more than Ellen Pompeo throughout the entire series.
Really?
Paid more.
That's crazy.
Ellen was top of the casting. She's number one on the list. Her fucking name is on the title of the show, and she got paid less.
That's insane.
And I'm guessing it's just because Patrick Dempsey had star power by then. And so he was a name. Ellen Pompeo didn't even audition for Grey's Anatomy. It was just kind of like, eh. handed to her by an agent or some shit. They just got her, you know. Was no audition whatsoever. Privilege. So, you know, it was a mess. And so Pompeo acknowledged about Katherine Heigl, saying, "Hurt feelings combined with instant success and huge paychecks started things spinning out of control. The crazier things got as I watched all the tumult with Isaiah and then the Katie thing. I started to focus on the work. Maybe it's my Boston blue-collar upbringing. I just tried not to pay attention to all the noise. It was tough. You could understand why she wanted to go when you're offered $12 million to do a movie and you're only 26? Dog, I'm 28 and I don't have that yet. Mm-hmm. So she's young as shit, getting paid like shit. Of course you're gonna want to do some other shit. Look at my vocabulary. I should be like speaking at Harvard. Goddamn, Catherine, you about to pass out.
I'm very tired. I crashed really hard like 10 minutes ago.
I'm doing my best. God damn it, man. We're almost through.
And I'm trying.
We're almost through, I swear to God. All I know, like, short and sweet, Heigl is mad drama.
Yeah.
Mad drama. This has been known forever. She's just a lot to work with, man. Yeah, so, you know, the fuck ever. And so, I don't want to spoil the rest of this, but basically, yeah, Patrick Dempsey was kind of a dick, a little bit of a diva on set. He was paid more than Ellen Pompeo, which is fucked up. If you're number one on the show, that's so fucked up. And so we do not support that. So now we're in an age where people will be paid equally, and we hope. You know what I mean? But I will say that this show is pretty garbage. Yeah. Pretty garbage, to say the
least.
But it is pretty fun. I just... watching it and seeing a lot of the things happening, I don't blame a lot of the cast for portrayals and all that stuff. I do blame Shonda Rhimes. Now, Shonda Rhimes pumps out hit shows, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But it's so repetitive and so overdramatic, it's kind of insane. And so I'm just like... like, when something crazy happens on the show, I'm just like, if this isn't the Shonda Rhimes show, I don't know what the fuck is, man. I don't know what is. Like I kind of wish you would, like, you were as far as I was so we can talk about, like, the crazy shit. But I think I'll let you watch and you'll just be like, yo.
Yeah.
What the fuck? Shonda. God damn it. And then when you watch Scandal and How to Get Away with Murder, you're just like, yeah, this is peak. He's like, wait. What if we kill the main character in the first act? You know what I mean? It's just like, what the fuck? So Shonda Rhimes, guys. I will be saying that. You know, I think people should give this show a chance because I think you'll be sucked into the garbage, as I have. Like the moment we're done with this, I'm going back to the show. It's currently playing behind me. I don't know what episode my fiance's on, but it really doesn't matter. It's like an anime you don't really have to follow through all the time. That's what it feels like. Imagine if Grey's Anatomy was an anime. That'd be
I feel Grey's like you could anime. Drop someone in the middle of any season, and as long as they just like watched a few episodes, they'd be able to figure it out.
Right. Grey's anime. Mm-hmm. That'd be amazing.
Oh my God, I need an anime reboot of Grey's Anatomy.
An anime reboot? That would be so wild.
Wouldn't it be good?
Every season, every 20-episode season, 10 episodes, are all filler episodes. Not canon whatsoever. There's, like, no plot whatsoever. I think there's one episode I saw recently that felt like a hospital show. And I was like, this is how it should be. Mm-hmm. Or I'm, like, watching it, and I'm just like, why are they cutting so much? Why is there a shot of her feet running? You know, like we get it. You know? Like, a lot of these people have never heard of a wide shot before, and it's kind of insane. Any final words, Catherine? I know you're dying.
I am dying. Go watch Grey's Anatomy, but don't spoil it for me.
Like I did. Catherine was very mad.
The first time you talked to me about Grey's Anatomy, you gave me like a huge spoiler.
Big one. I'm sorry. But when you watch it, you know, whatever.
Okay.
But it is kind of wild because I always hear people saying that they cry to this. You know, I'm just like, yo, that's wild.
This was like people, my stress relief show shit. when it was like April and there was a stay at home order, but I still had work and everything was stressful and I would go home and watch Grey's Anatomy.
It's a great show. And I'd be happy again.
Not happy, but I'd feel less miserable.
It's a great background show.
Yeah.
You know, and so I was like we're cooking or I'm like I'm making breakfast or you know I'm doing something, it's just in the back somewhere.
That's how I would watch that show, not like full attention.
Exactly, because you don't need your full attention. No. This is not, you know, this is not like you're watching the Sopranos or like Dark, you know, like you don't need to pull your mind into this. There is, as shallow as you think people are, these people are shallower. Like, no one here, everyone should be fired from being a doctor. This show should end. I thought it was over. No. Like, this has got to be over.
Yeah, still
but
gone.
It's not. This is the Law and Order of hospital shows.
Yeah.
You know, even ER stopped, you know, like ER stopped, you know, Law and Order is way better anyway. That's even way better. So next time is our big episode, Catherine. It's the big one. The big. It's the collab episode with its 2 a.m.
Oh, my God. Finally.
It's it. It is happening. It is happening. We will be having Chad and all the way from the hangnail of the United States, New Jersey, Grace. We'll be having them on the show. It's going to be a wild time. We are going to be talking about NSYNC versus Backstreet Boys. Fun fact, oh, Grace has never listened to them.
Somehow, that doesn't surprise me.
She only listens to dad rock, dude.
That's true.
You know she's into 70s music all the time.
Yeah.
Like, if there's any era she would go to, it would be the 70s.
Well,
so she could be a hippie.
This is not Let's Talk About the 70s, so she's going to have to brush up.
She's going to brush the fuck up. It's not Stairway to Heaven. It's I Want It That Way. That's the banger.
And
we're
going to
talk
motto.
About
that's the
we're going to talk about who were motto. The better singers in every group. We're going to talk about the bangers. Who had more bangers? Who had the bangers that banged more banginer than the other bangers?
Jesus.
That's not even a word. That's how banging this shit is. Are you excited, Catherine?
So
I'm
excited.
Hype.
I love
I'm
a collab.
Hype as fuck.
I love collabs.
I love a collab. Long time in the making. It's going to be interesting. It's going to be loud.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
It's going to be loud because me and Chad are there. And then now Grace is there. I'm going to be extra loud.
Oh, God.
I'm going to peak. I'm going to peak
please
volume.
Don't. For the sake of my ears, please don't.
I'm going to scream. There are going to be some hot takes. I have some hot takes prepared. Hot takes prepared. I'm ready. Are you ready, Catherine?
So ready.
Are the listeners ready?
They aren't.
I want to give a shout out. It's been a while since I've shouted out some places who have been listening to us. I want to shout out India, still being a consistent listener. Everyone in India, thank you so much. It's much appreciated. Love it. We're global, Catherine.
Global.
We're global everywhere. I love that this all started off as a stupid idea that I said in my car, let's just do it. And here
we
are.
I think your original idea was we should make a blog where we review 2000s music. And I'm like, Jason, I don't think there's an audience for that.
But podcasts are better. And now Michelle Obama's on the train. Dude, we are fucking trendsetters.
We walked so Michelle Obama could run.
Exactly. Look at us. We paved the way for Michelle. Michelle, come on the show. Come on this show.
You think she'll
talk
come?
To me. No.
No,
I don't think so. No. You know what? That would be crazy. That would be fucking nuts. And then we would be canceled because then people would listen and be like, wow, he really said this? And then everything would be shut down. I would
yeah,
lose my
true,
job.
Yeah, we'd get canceled pretty quick. Maybe we should not have Michelle Obama on the show.
Yeah, we should not have Michelle Obama, but we should get Smash Mouth. We should get Smash Mouth on the show. No one cancels Smash Mouth. That's great. All right.
Good talk.
Yeah. Good talk. Good talk as always. We will see you next time for our NSYNC versus Backstreet Boys episode. Enjoy the rest of your week. Peace.